I found a, my message is money and thanksgiving to God. And the text, what did I have the text? Show me the text. There you go. Psalm 97, 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks. Rejoice is to speak joy, and then give thanks is to recognize that God has done something in your thinking at the remembrance of his holiness. I did some research asking the question, basically, does the world know about this? And I found a book called The Psychology of Money. That's an interesting thought, money having a psychology, by Morgan Housel, two-time winner of the Best in Business Award from the Society of American Business Editors. So sounds like at least those people think he knows what he's talking about. And that book delves into how people think about and relate to money. It offers insights into the often overlooked aspects of financial behavior and emotions. So he suggested that financial success is more about mindset than just numbers. Sit down at your paper and write out about numbers and investing and all these things. And that's good. That's important. But, he said, doing well with money isn't necessarily about what you know. It's about how you behave. And behavior is hard to teach, even to really smart people. So people spend a lot of time figuring out this and that and so on, and then they behave in a way where they lose their money. He says, in the real world, people don't make financial decisions on a spreadsheet. They make them at the dinner table or in a meeting room where personal history, your own unique view of the world, ego, pride, marketing, and odd incentives are scrambled together. Most of us, I think, are more familiar with Christian financial counselor Dave Ramsey. He spoke about the person's mental attitude about money. He said this, financial peace isn't the acquisition of stuff. It's learning to live on less than you make so you can give money back and have money to invest. You can't win until you do this. It's an attitude, isn't it? Now, the thought should spring to us then, well, what's the right attitude? Who would know? And I will submit to you that God knows. God who made us, body and soul, who made us to deal with money, who asks us to give. He knows. Let's deal with it then on just a very basic concept here. Money and thankfulness to God, the command. We showed you there from Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We should be a thankful people. There is a money-grubbing attitude about money that ruins us in money. What happens when we see failure? 2 Timothy 3:2. The failure, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Excuse me. I've progressed to where I now get a tickle in my throat. Before it was something else. The progressive corruption of us, getting worse and worse, this deals with our thankfulness. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. When you're not thankful to God, you progress in sin, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We need a replacement strategy. Be thankful. Rather than being unthankful, we need to replace what we were doing with thankfulness. We see this replacement strategy in Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. Warning us against sin, but fornication, this is immorality, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint, as is befitting saved people. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather fill your mouth with giving of thanks. That means you have to think about this before you speak. This means you have to be full of reasons for giving of thanks. And take the opportunity, every opportunity of a conversation, to bring into it an element of thankfulness. So let's look at a few things. Number one, we are to give thanks for all things. This is an odd concept for most of the world. We give thanks for what we're happy about, what's pleasant, but we gripe and grumble and complain and do nothing about giving thanks if things are bad. Ephesians 5:12, giving thanks. Excuse me. Giving thanks always. Goodness. What a voice. Giving thanks always for all things. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all things. It's all in there, see. We need to have our mind around the idea that God is behind all things. He could have prevented us from being in a situation where I coughed while I'm trying to preach. But I give thanks for that, because you can be happy that you don't have to cough while you're preaching. Philippians 4:6, be careful, be worried, careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, notice how vast this is. In everything give thanks. Why? Because I'm deliriously happy about everything? No. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me bring up some things you can give thanks for. Earthly mercies. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. We are in a sin-cursed world. That was not our choice. It just happened to be where we were born, you see. In this, we suffer because of sin, because of our sin, but because of other people's sin. We suffer, but God is merciful. Mercy means he does not punish us to the extent that he could and maybe should. Mercy says, hold off. He's the God of all comfort. And so if you have any comfort in your problems, that's God. He's the God of all comfort. Wherever you found that comfort, it came from God. Think of the fact of life. To be, to answer the question, is better than not to be. None can give life but God, for he is the fountain of blessing. Psalm 100, verses 3 and 4, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. There is someone greater than you. There is someone that gives you life. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. When you awoke this morning and realized you are alive, okay, after coffee, you realized you were alive. You understood this. Thank God. Thank God. He's given you another opportunity. Psalm 139, 14 to 16. I will praise thee. Why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have this illness, and over the week I began to see I was getting over it, and now I'm on the other side of it. Doesn't sound like it, but I'm getting better. I'm almost well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, my little beginning as I was formed in the womb. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, uncompleted. And in thy book all my members were written, which are in continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God worked out how I was to be made. Acts 17:28, Paul preaching to the Gentiles, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So he understood the Greeks, though they didn't know the Jewish God, they didn't know the real God. They had people who figured out that all people have come from the one who created them. So we thank God for the fact of life. We thank God for the continued life. Again today, I'm alive. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is at the gift of God, at the power of God, your life. Job 10:12a, thou hast granted me life and favor. Acts 17:25, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So we thank him for continued life. We thank him for preserved life. Every time you see someone dying at the hospital or at the deathbed, thank God for preserving your life. Nehemiah 9:6, thou, even thou, art God alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the angels, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Let's thank him for our health. I thank God for my health. Damaged as it is at the moment, I thank God for my health. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So, well, this is a wish. Yes, but that word is translated twice, pray. There is at the heart of prayer a wish. And he uses this word, I pray for your health, you see. Be thankful to God for the health that he has given, however short it is. Isaiah 38:9-19, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Here's what he wrote, verse 19, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. If you are alive today, thank God. Luke 17:15-16. And one of them, speaking of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. If you are not racked with a hacking cough, thank God, especially today. We ought to praise him for all that is enjoyable. You like sitting down to a tasty meal, getting a nice cool drink or hot drink? Do you find these things are enjoyable? Some recreation, some interesting story you see on TV or whatever. Thank God that he made life in this sin-cursed world enjoyable. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord. Why? Who daily loadeth us with benefits. Isn't that a picture? Loading us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. 1 Timothy 4:4. For every creature, created thing, of God is good. He's talking about good for food. Even squid. Octopus, crawdads. These people eat this stuff. Good for food, and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above. Have you found in the sin-cursed world something That's good. It came from God. Bad things came from man's sin. The good things, still left over from creation, come from him, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, this includes, and here's my focus, this includes your financial ability such as it is. Do you command hundreds of thousands of dollars? Do you command hundreds of pennies? Thank God. There are spiritual mercies. This is all the worldly things. There are spiritual mercies we should give thanks for. For the provision of the new covenant. God promised the new covenant to the Jews who had the old covenant, the law, in Jeremiah 31. And starting with verse 31, he goes through and promises them a new covenant. That was fulfilled when Christ came and shed his blood. So the provision of the new covenant gives us seven things. Salvation, sonship, we become sons of God. For heaven, for the indwelling Holy Spirit, for authority with Christ in the kingdom, for eternal life, unending life, and for final victory over sin. We struggle with it here. One day we'll be free from that. Seven wonderful provisions all come from the new covenant. And in this, we should thank God. So, for provision of the new covenant, for his blessings of grace. Grace in this sense, I'm talking about spiritual empowerment. When we had no power to serve him because we were on the wrong side, when we were ungodly, all of our works were tainted with the ungodliness. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. So, the blessings of his grace when he gives us spiritual empowerment. It's a particular blessing that you were born in a land where the gospel is preached. In a land where false religion dominates, there is a famine. Famine is not a good thing, you see. Amos 8:11, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. If we look around today, even in America, there are many people going to churches where they never hear the word of God. They hear stories, they hear magazine appraisals. The gospel was first given to the Jewish people by Christ, but in the Great Commission, that great task that he laid upon us, Jesus said to preach it to all the nations. Matthew 28:19a, Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, translated Gentiles 93 times, and heathen 5 times. So this was definitely referring to more than just the Jewish people. In Acts 11:18, when they, the Jews, heard these things, they glorified God, saying, Then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And for all of us who are not Jews, we thank God he granted repentance to us. So spiritual mercies. Thank God for the love of God, the triune, transcendent God, that he would not only make us, create us, but love us. Romans 5:5b, The love of God is shed abroad. This is translated poured out 12 times. The love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, it's an important concept to realize that where do we finally get to participate in the love of God? We who have been born without it and been insulated and isolated from it. We got it when we got saved, when the Holy Spirit came in. God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. When he came into us, he poured God's love into our heart. All right, all of that looking at the idea of being thankful. Secondly, let's look at the times of being thankful. let me look at it negatively. When should you be thankful? Not only when you are prosperous. Some of you are prosperous. Levi has money to spend whenever he wants. Well, maybe not. But some of you are prosperous. But you don't have to wait till then. Matthew 8:20, and Jesus saith unto them, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus gave thanks. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us about his poverty. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich there in heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He became poor to make us, to enrich us. Mark 12:42. There came a certain poor widow, and threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. She said, it's all I have. It's not much, but I give what I have. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Paul, as sorrowful, talking about himself, about the apostles, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. We who walk through this life with hardly anything, with hardly the 2 coins to rub together, will be rulers of the world with Christ. What a crazy thought. Revelation 2:9, I know thy, Smyrna's, works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. All around us claiming to be elegant people, you see, and they're not. He says, I know your poverty, but I also know you will be reigning with as kings with me. Not only when you're prosperous, but also when you are in adversity. Let's go to a person in adversity. Job, chapter 1, 19 to 22. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, from the outside, from the aside, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, his children. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, and rent, tore his mantle, his robe, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then a comment. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The King James tells us this can mean, nor did he attribute folly to God. Has that been a temptation, things going bad for you, and you say, God must be crazy? Surely God should know better. See? He didn't do that. As a believer, you have reason to thank God even when you have affliction, perhaps particularly because you have affliction. Christ told us this in Matthew 5:10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, but I'm suffering here, but not for long. You will have the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What are we to do about that? Just live in despair. They hate us. No, he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. It's only here for a little bit, and you're not home yet. See, when you get home, things are going to be different. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Peter counseled his people he was preaching to, 1 Peter 4:14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. And then let me close with 2 reasons to give thanks. I'm thinking that perhaps somebody is here saying, you're not going through what I'm going through. You're not going through what I have gone through. I may have. but say I didn't. Give me a reason. I'll give you two. The first reason is this. Your Savior desires it of you. Not just because you feel happy. You see the difference? We don't have to be encouraged to do happy things when we're happy. When things are pleasant, we enjoy it. When things are tough, we look to Him and we say, I will do what you ask because you asked it, because you have loved me and you desire it. Listen to Him speak to you. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I don't have enough to offer a sacrifice. He says, but you do. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Kneel in your poverty, hold up the crumbs about you, and say, I offer the fruit of my lips as an offering to God. Praise to His name. Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving. This is an offering. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 69:30-31. I will praise the name of God with a song. We've done that today, haven't we? And will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You make God bigger to other people when you give thanks. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. I don't have much to give Him. Can you give thanks? You say, well, that's one reason. What's another? My second and my last is this. Your Savior gave the example. Was it always pleasant with Him? We might ask, was it ever pleasant with Him? God living in a sin-cursed world? Understand that God planned for you to become Christ-like. His goal for you for eternity is to make you like Christ. That's what holiness is. Being like Christ. Three verses and I'm done. Romans 8:29, speaking of the purpose of God. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. And why is this? That He, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is looking to bring us into the family. And we have Christ as our brother. He, the firstborn among many brethren. To be the servant of Christ, I understand. To be the brother of Christ, it's very hard. To be related, actually related to Him. So Christ gave that example. Matthew 11:25-26. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. He looks about Him, say, these people are not scholars, not great ones moving the earth. They're just the babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. In the midst of all of this rejection around Him, He thanked God for those that knew. And finally, John 11:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead Lazarus was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Do you understand that God heard Him? to understand that God always heard him. But then in the midst of these people, in the midst of the weeping and crying at the funeral of his friend Lazarus, he cries out saying, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Can you and I follow the example of Christ as we are supposed to become conformed to that image? Can we find in this cruel world the blessings of God that are still upon us? Then the attitude of thankfulness will actually turn to our finances, and we will say, I can't give anything to the church, I have to keep it all for myself. We will say, thank you for providing my basic necessities, and I choose to be content with that. You say, what are my basic necessities? Food and covering. The covering, I think, is our clothing, perhaps our roof over our head. Now, if that's all you had, food and covering, God says, with that you could be content. That leaves us then with something extra, something to share, something to say thank you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for what we have. We do not demean you for what we don't have. It was not your intention to give us everything that we might desire. I'm not sure that it's possible to satisfy human desires. But I ask, Father, that you might help us then to look around and instead of seeing what we don't have, to look around and see what is right and beautiful and lovely that is left of your creation that is perfect. We ask, Father, that you might help us to look around specifically for the reasons to say thank you to you. Now, Father, when we do that with our money, then we'll recognize that you are more than abundant, more than generous, certainly more than we deserve. And we ask that you might help us then to be looking about with eyes that understand that you are going to put in our path people who will need our help, perhaps even financial help. You will put in our path the people that we can help. And in doing so, we are being Christ-like. We are being thankful as you told us you wanted us to be. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, Pastor, I'm not as thankful as I should be. I look around and see what I don't have. And it makes me angry. And I think I deserve it. But when I look at you and I see that I am but a person of sin, and my only value is that you have loved me, and rather than beating me up and tormenting me forever for my sin, you gave your son to die to save me from that sin. Father, let me be thankful. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd say, pray for me. Help me to get my mind around the things of thanksgiving. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Say, pray for me. I need to think what I have, not what I don't have. Amen. Amen. Others? Father, then we bow before you and say, because you have asked it of us, we are seeking to think in a thankful way. Thankful, first of all, to you, and then to all who have acted in your behalf toward us with thanksgiving and kindness. We pray, Father, that you might help us to understand when we have people around us who understand, people who care for us, that's a gift from you, and we want to say thank you. Help us then, Father, to give to others as it has been given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.